We have two readings, one from John chapter 14 and the other from Acts chapter 2. Our first reading, John 14, beginning at verse 15. The heading in this, the NIV, has it, Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own, but belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." And then Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." May God add his blessing to the reading. This is the day when we recall the birth of the church. when, according to his promise, the Father, through Christ, poured out the Holy Spirit in power and in wonder upon those early disciples, and the church was born of the Spirit. I'd like to present this talk under two basic headings: the power and the person, rather the promise and the person, and the power and the proclamation. I wonder if you've ever felt very afraid and tense and nervous at the thought of being left alone. Perhaps if you go back to childhood, we can recall occasions like that. Sometimes it can happen to us when we're adults. We go through a period of time when we feel afraid, we feel alone. We're not quite sure what's going to happen. Putting ourselves in the shoes of the disciples in that upper room, we see that the Lord Jesus is telling them, indeed he's told them on three subsequent occasions, that he's going to give his life for the sins of the world. He's going to die on the cross. He's going to shed his precious blood. He's going to be mocked and scourged. He's going to be raised from the dead. And they are puzzled and perplexed. And we can imagine in that room the shadow of the cross, because he was going to be crucified on the following day, the shadow of that cross must have fallen across that upper room. And they were afraid, and they felt very tense. First Thomas in chapter 14, Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way? Then Philip, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Then Judas, not Iscariot, says, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and yet not to the world? Lord, we don't know. Lord, show us. But Lord, why? You can feel the anxiety and the fear. Into that anxiety and fear, the Lord Jesus speaks his word of reassurance, and how we need, at times in our lives, his word of reassurance. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I will not leave you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you alone. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor, helper, an advocate, one who speaks for you and will come alongside of you and strengthen you. Straight away, we begin to see that this counselor, helper, advocate, whom Jesus is speaking of, is not just an impersonal force, but a person. John 15, the Holy Spirit, says Jesus, whom I will send to you from the Father, he will testify about me. The one whom I will send to you from the Father, he will testify about me. And in John 16, Jesus says again, I will send him, the Holy Spirit, to you. Notice the whom and the him and the he. Of course, when we speak of the power of the Holy Spirit, then it's right to refer to that as it. And we do need it, that is the power of the Holy Spirit, in our lives and in the church today. But when we speak of the Holy Spirit himself, he is always a person. But we notice, on the one hand, Jesus says, the Father will send him to you. The counselor whom I will send to you from the Father. But then, Jesus saying, I will send him to you from the Father. First, the Father sends him, and then Jesus sends him from the Father. Is this a contradiction? No, it's an expression of the Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit moving together in unity. They are not, in that sense, working independently of one another. The Holy Spirit, the Trinity, moves together in the oneness of unity, living, moving, and having its being. You could imagine the Trinity as three concentric circles, absolutely together. Not three gods, but one God expressed in three persons. There are intimations in the Old Testament of the Trinity. Of course, the complete revelation is in the New Testament, but in the Old Testament there are intimations. In Genesis 1:26, we hear God saying, let us make man in our own image. In Isaiah 6, we hear the Lord of hosts saying, who will go for us and whom shall we send? So it is there in the Old Testament, but the full disclosure is here in the New Testament, a picture of the fullness of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, there are many ways in which the Holy Spirit can manifest himself to believers. But I'd like to suggest that there are three ways today, three main ways. First of all, in chapter 16, he glorifies and exalts and reveals Christ to us. If you are experiencing a deeper understanding of Christ in your heart, life, and experience, if he's becoming more and more real to you, if you're seeing him as indeed the resurrected and ascended and glorified one at the right hand of the Father, if he's filling the whole of your life, then be sure that's a mark of the Holy Spirit working in you. Secondly, he teaches and guides us into all truth, chapter 14 and chapter 16. As we read the Word of God, he is the one who makes the Word live and become meaningful to us. If as you're reading the Bible, it's beginning to live, if you're seeing fresh and lovely things in it every time you read it, be sure that the Holy Spirit, our perfect teacher, is teaching and guiding us into all truth. And thirdly, the Holy Spirit reminds us of the truth of God. Ever been in that situation when someone has asked you a question and it's left you more or less flat-footed? You weren't expecting it. And suddenly the answer is given to you in that moment. It could be a word of scripture. It could be an expression that you've heard a long while ago and had forgotten, but that expression fits perfectly the situation and it answers very wonderfully the question that's just been asked. That is a mark of the Holy Spirit working in us. He reminds us of the truth. So the Holy Spirit himself points us to the truth. He guides us in the truth. And he reminds us of the truth. He points us to the truth when we read his word. He teaches and guides us in the truth. And he reminds us of the truth, the promise and the person. But now the power and the proclamation in Acts chapter 2. On that awesome day of Pentecost, the promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit manifested itself in wind and fire. The wind filled the whole house where they were sitting. The tongues of fire separated and rested upon each of the disciples. The first is a corporate experience. The wind filling the whole house. But the tongues of fire resting individually on the believers, That's an individual experience. And the 12 disciples were transformed from fearful people to fearless people, from timid people to testifying people. Oh, how that mighty inreach of the Holy Spirit into the lives of the apostles brought about their mighty outreach even to the ends of the Roman world. The mighty inreach brought about the mighty outreach. And so it must be with us. There must be a mighty inreach if he is to bring about in us a mighty outreach. The two go together. We cannot ask him for the mighty inreach and then enjoy it all to ourselves. It's given that there might be a mighty outreach in our hearts and lives and in the community in which we live. Listen to Peter. Peter who denied his Lord 3 times. Peter who said, though all forsake you, I will never forsake you. But when the pressures came in the Garden of Gethsemane, he forsook him and he forsook the Lord and fled. Listen to Peter. Anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power on that day of Pentecost, is utterly transformed. He who followed Jesus from afar now stands with the 11 and proclaims him. Listen to him proclaiming the glorified Christ in Acts chapter 2. Listen to him declaring the sinless sacrifice of Christ for the sins of the world. Listen to him calling his hearers to repentance and baptism. Indeed, the whole of the book of Acts is one wonderful picture of the Holy Spirit moving in power through that young church from Jerusalem, through Asia, through Europe, and we find Paul in Rome openly declaring the things of God to the Jewish people there. That mighty inreach resulted in that mighty outreach. And we must ask ourselves as individuals and as the body of Christ, not only here, but in Stamford, because whatever denomination Christians belong to, if they know Christ as Lord and Saviour, then they are one with one another, and the body of Christ is here living in Stamford, irrespective of denomination. We must ask ourselves, do we want this mighty inreach of the Holy Spirit just to enjoy, just to say, oh, look what I have? Or do we want the mighty inreach of the Holy Spirit to produce a mighty outreach in our lives, in our homes, in the community in which God has placed us? We as a church are not alone. We are part of the body of Christ. I pray that this pouring out of the Holy Spirit will occur again in our day, even today, please. But only that that mighty inreach will produce a mighty outreach. In the closing words of that poem, oh, rushing, rushing wind and falling, falling flame, fall on us. Amen.